And for the, with some love for their fabulous music. I want to thank Chris, Joe, and Matt in the back in the sound booth back there, the lighting, for giving some love to me, getting adjusted to all of this new scene here. So how about some applause for them as well? Tech guys usually don't get any love. You know, it's a powerful thing for me to hear the music and talk about what faithfulness looks like. And you know, I guess at the very core of it all, I mean, we are all in this together. And we all think about what does it mean for me to be faithful? And kind of like the spiral helix in a DNA molecule, we move in and out of surges of fabulous spiritual energy. And sometimes we are on the downside of that. And somehow, through it all, we keep moving forward. We keep striving to be faithful. And that is a dynamic that is at the living core of our lives. And, you know, as Ryan said at the beginning, you know, we meet together. It's important for us to meet together because of the fusion of energy. And you will inspire others in ways that you cannot even imagine. Things happen where you cannot even imagine when you show up with love, how that will affect someone, and who knows, for generations. You know, I'm having a memory lapse right now. Maybe you can help me. How does this end? A stitch in time. Don't cry over. A chain is only as strong as the third time's the. Yes. The third time's the charm. I'm going to read the gospel from Mark chapter 10. This is the third time this conversation takes place. Jesus and all his disciples are making their way to Jerusalem, and the disciples are juiced because they think when they get to the end, they inherit the kingdom. They become rich and powerful. They're going to get all their dreams met. And they begin to jostle and jockey with each other who is number one. The only curious disconnect here is when Jesus speaks to them, he tells them that when they get to Jerusalem, it's not going to be any of those things. It's going to be something very different. And in each case, it says that the disciples didn't want to hear anything about that. They didn't want to hear about it. Well, the third time's the charm. So I want you to listen to these words with that vibe animating your imagination this morning. Are you with me on that? Here we go. Now, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And he took the 12 aside, and he began to tell them what was going to happen, saying, "Listen, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the chief priests, the scribes, the big shots." That's my, translation. "And they will condemn him to death. They will mock him and flog him. And they will kill him. But in 3 days, he will rise again." Now, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, after listening to this, came forward and said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us what we want." And he said, "Tell me, what is it that you want?" And they said, we want to sit at your right and left hand in your power and your glory when we get there. And Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink or be baptized with the baptism that's coming for me? And they said, yeah, we're able. And Jesus said, look, the cup that I drink, you will drink. The baptism with which I will be baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and left, that is not mine to grant. That is for whom God has prepared. Now, when the 10 heard this, they were mad at James and John. So Jesus called them one more time and said, listen, it's the Gentiles who recognize that their rulers lord it over them. And they're great ones. They're tyrants. But it is not to be so among you. Because whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the servant of all. For the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, when we think about what it means for us to be faithful, and I thought it might be worth us thinking and pondering for a moment what it meant for Jesus to be faithful. And we get a sense of that in this passage in a very direct way. And the third time's the what? Yeah, this is the third time he says it. And so for Jesus, we get a sense for him what faithfulness looks like. And I wonder, can this story help us to think through, to ponder what it might mean for you and me to be faithful right here and right now with the gifts and talents that you have, with the quotient of love and energy that you are able to put into the mix of this world, that you have been blessed with talents and gifts to make a difference in the world? What does faithfulness look like? Well, I think this passage has that fabulous energy for us to think about. And I just want to have us think for a moment what it might suggest. Here are the things that come to me. And the first is that spiritual lessons take time. Spiritual lessons take time. I remember many years ago, I used to see these bumper stickers all the time, you know, be patient with me, God's not finished dealing with me yet. Anybody ever see stickers like that? Spiritual lessons take time. We're on a journey together. The faith isn't just a matter of, you know, a sudden decision and then everything is fine. Faith is a journey. And spiritual lessons take time. Does anybody know who this is? We're my classical music scholars, or my experts in Spanish biography. That is Pablo Casals. He was considered one of the great musical geniuses of the last century. When he was a little boy, at the age of 3, his dad used to put him behind the keyboard, the piano, and he would play all kinds of chords and say, now name all the notes, and he could do it. When he was 4 years old, he became a master violinist. And when he saw someone playing the cello, he wanted to play it so bad. The problem is, he was this big and the cello was this big. So his dad made him a cello out of a cigar box. And later on, as he grew older, he began to learn the cello and play and become an expert in cello music. One day he was in a Madrid music store, and he went into this, you know, back room with all these manuscripts and scores, and in the bottom shelf covered with spider webs and dust, he found these gigantic cello sonatas by Bach. And no one had heard these cello sonatas for hundreds of years because they were considered too difficult. Nobody could play them. They were exercises. But he took those manuscripts and played them every single day for 25 years and never in front of anyone. Every day for 25 years, he played those pieces. No one except him heard them until one day he performed them in concert and blew people's minds. Nobody had ever heard anything. And because of all those years, the nuances, the vibrato, the feeling, the phrasing was a spiritual experience. Profound, moving, but it took time. And I think in our immediate culture, we need to have a little bit of patience with ourselves. We need to have patience with others. Now, you know what happened to John? You know, at the beginning, John was the person who wanted to get at Jesus' right hand. Jesus gave him a nickname, by the way. Does anybody here know what it is? We're my Bible study fanatics here. I better watch out. I'm going to be walking off the stage any minute. Does anybody know Jesus gave nicknames to James and John? Does anybody know what they are? Sons of Thunder, the real name, the word in the Aramaic, Boanerges. How'd you like to have that as a nickname? Yeah, and the reason they got that nickname is because Jesus sent his disciples out. He says, I want you to go out and proclaim God's love to the world. I want you to heal people. I want you to go into cities and announce that the kingdom of God has come into this world. Announce it. Stay with the people. Don't take any bags. Don't take anything. Just go. Freely you've received. Freely give. And they come back to Jesus, you know, all the disciples, and they come and they tell the tales, kind of like your children or grandchildren. They were, you know, jumping off a diving board. They say, Mom and Dad, did you see me? We were awesome. Did you see me do that? And the disciples come back to Jesus with that kind of energy. And Jesus asked James and John, how about you guys? How did it go? And they go, not so good. In fact, they didn't dig our message all that much. That's, you know, again, my translation. So they said to Jesus, how about this, man? Give us the power and we'll whack that town. I'm from Queens, New York. That means destroy. Give us the power and we'll wipe those people who didn't dig our message right out of existence. We'll show them some Christian love. Yeah, we got love for you, baby. Whack. And Jesus says, oh, what's up with that? Anyway, towards the end of John's life, you know, he only had one message, right? Anybody here ever read the book of 1 John? This is all that he said towards the end of his life. Here, check this out. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed to us in this way, that he sent his only Son into the world that we might have life through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Those words come from these words. Here's the second thing. The best teachers show love and patience and example. Any foodies here? No? Oh, I bet you are. I bet you all know all the cool restaurants in town. I was watching a show once. Does anybody know who this guy is? Gordon Ramsay. And I was watching this show, and they were making some food, and this like helper in the kitchen, like what I am for my wife when she cooks. I'm the sous chef, and she screams at me. Actually, she doesn't. He's in these people's faces screaming at them because they cut the julienne thing just a little off. And he didn't like that. And he's screaming at them. You know, for me, you know what I'm down with? I don't want to eat his food. I don't want to eat food that comes out of bilious rage. I want food prepared with love. You're going to serve me something? Serve it with love, not that vicious anger. And look at this way. You know, Jesus, not once, not twice. What did we say? The third time's the what? So the third time, you know, Jesus is telling the disciples, boys, I'm going to get whacked when we get to Jerusalem. This is it. Stay with me. Have a little bit of compassion. Have that a little feeling. And they don't have it at that point. And I, you know, like, let's, you know, where are my big shot executives here? Anybody here want to fire somebody that didn't perform? Can you imagine the disciples, Jesus saying, guys, I don't need you. You're fired. But as you look at Jesus, he approaches the disciples with patience, with love, and get this, with an optimistic sense of what they will become, not where they are now. Are you with me on that? So it doesn't matter to me right now how old you are, where you are in your faith, you are on a progress to do beautiful things for the kingdom. And as long as you draw breath in this world, God is going to use you in ways you cannot imagine. Am I wrong or am I right? A little bit of more energy, folks. You know I'm right. Patience. And you know who came to my mind immediately when I think of love and patience and serving? You know who this guy is. Pastor Gary. And, you know, I've had the blessing to know him for many years. We've served next to each other in Honduras. He inspired me and our church to go to Pine Ridge and other places. Patience and love, that's what it's all about. And you have other, you have everyone here that I've met serves with patience and love. And that's what it's all about. The best teachers show patience and love. And I just wonder today, is there someone in your family who you go to school with, who you work with, who needs your patience and your love? Because that is one way that we think about what being faithful looks like. Confused about that? What being faithful looks like? Show up with love, and you will always be doing the right thing. I'll conclude with this. The meaning and impact of Jesus' ministry is beyond our understanding. But let me amend it. The meaning and impact of Jesus' ministry and yours, is beyond understanding. The image that came to my mind was this. What's the most important element in that painting? By who, by the way? Vincent van Gogh. You know, they say if you're a director here in theater, you know, every play has a key character. Sometimes it's not the main character. Whose story is it? Whose story is that picture? It's the sun. The sun is the animating energy behind that painting. The sower is the quintessential religious image, scattering the seeds. You know, when Jesus says, I give my life as a ransom for many, I mean, that's one of these juicy lexical words. And they mean a lot of different things, right? They can mean salvation. They can mean reconciliation, atonement, grace, forgiveness, eternal life. It means a lot of different things. Jesus asks us to scatter the seeds that are in our bag. Whatever that bag is, that's your quotient of energy and love, the gifts and talents that you have, the opportunities that you have. And the meaning and the impact of what you scatter happens because of that animating energy that fills that visual field of reference with light and energy. And in the mystic process of growth, life springs up. You never know what you do, how it will be played forward. I'll conclude with this. How many here have been to Honduras? Anybody here ever been to Honduras? Anybody here ever been on a different mission trip? I remember the first mission trip we took at Rejoice. We went with you guys. And I remember, I'm not really a keen flyer. I don't know how many of you like to fly, but I remember we were just getting on the plane to Honduras, to Goosegulp, and Gary's sitting next to me laughing his head off because he sees I'm nervous. He goes, I just wanted you to know, Tegucigalpa is the second most dangerous airport in the world. And then he has that gleeful laugh as he sees me, begin to wilt. We went to this place that was very dangerous. In fact, the day we got there, they told us that the prior day, an American agent was shot right there, killed right there where we were. And it was quite an experience the first time we went there. Fast forward about maybe 14 years. Jeanette and I were on a cruise. And has anybody here ever been on a cruise? You know what I'm talking about? You go on these things. So we're in the dining room for the first night, and we're at a table with six of our friends, and the waiter comes in, introduces himself, and I see on his name tag, Juan from Honduras. So I said, hey, I've been to Honduras. Where do you live? He goes, man, nobody knows where I live. Real, real dangerous area. I go, really? I've been there. I've been to, the Tegucigalpa area. He goes, really? That's where I came from. He says, but I lived in an area you wouldn't know where it is. I go, well, what, is there anything like big nearby that I might know? He goes, well, it's not far from the cathedral. So I said, do you live in Colonia Suriapa? And he looks at me and goes, yeah. So I said, I was there. I went to this little school, and we brought in, doctors and nurses and dentists and, all this. And I'm talking to him, and as I'm talking to him, he starts to cry. And he said, my mother was given eyeglasses from you guys. And that's the first time in her life she was able to see clearly. And he began to tell me about all the things that happened. And all the people around the table are like leaning in and listening. They're probably saying, hey, we want to order. But me and this waiter are hugging each other and crying together. And so, You never know where things fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about what faithfulness looks like, may we be inspired today on the meaning of Jesus' life. May we draw inspiration to be patient, loving, faithful, and to show up with love in meaningful ways. We ask you to plant seeds of faith in our lives right here and right now. We pray that in the music that we've heard, the words that we have read together, and now as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, where we experience your own real presence to us, beyond words, beyond what we bring to this moment, you bring your life-giving, soul-nourishing power to us. Now, may we receive it with gratitude and with great love. Prepare us now as we receive the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Amen.